We are so excited to announce something brand new here at Bayshore Community Church. Available now on any of the app stores, either Apple or Android or even Amazon, is the exciting Bayshore Church app for your mobile device. Now, this app is chock full of content for you to use to engage with Bayshore. There's a sermon archive where you can browse past messages from both campuses. There's ways for you to sign up for classes, for events, for small groups. There's events calendar so that you don't miss anything that's happening. There's even a Bible reading section where you can get daily updates on where we are reading in the Bible. Also, this app has a great new giving feature, a very sleek and efficient way to easily give anytime you like and also have reoccurring gifts. So be sure to check out our app. You can go to bayshorecc.org/app. That's bayshorecc.org/app. And find links to download the Bayshore Church app.
Welcome to Jurassic Park. Come on, Jurassic Park. How many of you saw the original Jurassic Park in the theater? You saw the original? Come on, put them up, put them up. We're old people. Movie is 25 years old. Like, pass me the Bengay and Icy Hot. I am feeling old right now. Well, hey, welcome back to our summer series called At the Movies. If you're kind of new with us, or you haven't been here during this series, each week we're just looking at a movie because we think there's a lot you can learn from a movie. And today is Jurassic Park Day, which is why some of you maybe saw a T-Rex out in the lobby. Like, where else can you go to church in a basement with T-Rexes? I love our church. And listen, if this is your first time ever at Bayshore, we don't always have T-Rexes, but it's a fun Sunday when we do. But hey, welcome to church. If this is your first time here, my name is Joel, and I'm the campus pastor around here. We are so, so glad y'all are hanging out with us. Also, a big shout out to our online family, those of you who are listening to the podcast on your commute, wherever you're heading to, those of you who are tuning in and watching on Facebook Live, wherever you're watching from. A big shout out to Lisa, who's been watching us in New York State. Big shout out to Dinah, who's been watching us down in St. Petersburg, Florida. And this week, yeah, Dinah in St. Petersburg, Florida. Listen, this week I got a note from Dinah, and she wanted to let me know that her name sounds an awful lot like dinosaur. Clever girl, Dinah, clever girl, all right? So, hey, can you guys just get rowdy for our online family and all our first-time guests today? Just let them know we're glad they're tuning in and they're here sitting with us today. We love you guys. Thank you for being here. That's awesome. All right, so to start, I got a question for y'all. How many of you remember the first movie you ever saw in theaters? You remember the first movie. Don't be shy. You remember, some of you got to go way back, okay? Charlie Chaplin years, all right? Go way back. All right, some of you are raising your hands. All right, now I don't want anybody to be shy. Can you just let me know some of the first movies you guys saw in theaters? Just someone let me know.
Godzilla.
E.T. That's a classic. E.T. Dumbo. Goonies. Who said Goonies? Jeff Kilner. That is killing it. Goonies.
The blob
was also said in the first service. Now, I got to tell you, the first service, I don't know what was going on. I didn't recognize any movies they were saying. I'm like, I don't know what any of these movies are. You all. Goonies, E.T., The Blob. Like, come on now. That's awesome. So, I wish that I could stand up here and say, man, the first movie I ever saw in a theater was amazing. It was Star Wars, or Jurassic Park, or Indiana Jones. Okay, I wish I could stand up here and say that, but I can't. The first movie I ever saw in theater, and I said this last week in the 10:30 if you were here. You guys ready for my first movie I ever saw in theater? The Little Mermaid. Man, what a downer. Look, it's a long story, don't ask. But listen, up until 1993, my parents kind of kept me in the G and PG rating bubble. Everything I saw was like The Little Mermaid and McGee and Me. Any church kids remember McGee and Me? Yes. That was it. Okay, there was no other movies because that was the PG and G rating bubble. And then in 1993, Jurassic Park came out. And Jurassic Park wasn't rated G or PG. It was rated PG-13. And one day, we were at my mom's house, and my uncle, I remember him, where we were standing, he said to my parents, hey, just let your kids go see Jurassic Park. It's got dinosaurs in it, so you know it's probably educational. And I got to agree with my Uncle Richard. Okay, what's not educational about people getting eaten off of a toilet by a T-Rex? Like, that's educational. And so because of my Uncle Richard, I got to go see my very first PG-13 movie in theaters, which was Jurassic Park. And I have been a Jurassic Park fan ever since. And now Jurassic Park in the franchise is massive. Okay, the most recent one, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, or Force Awakens, I don't know what it is, you know. It has made $932 million over the last two weekends. $932 million. Now, me and my wife, Stacy, contributed about half of that. Because we went over here at Midway to go see it, and we didn't know that it was in the Cube. I don't go to the Cube. I'm a pastor. I don't got no money for that, okay? And so I went to the lady at the booth, and I said, I'll take two for Jurassic World. And she said, that'll be $30. I was like, I'm not here to buy two dinosaurs. I want to see a movie. She said, it's in the Cube. That's why it's $30. I was like, okay. So I looked at my wife, Stacy, and I was like, we're not sparing any expense on this date. And so got out the $30. I paid for it. And listen, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but it was amazing. My seat was vibrating in the trailer. And I was like, look, you can just have my money. Like, I want to see every movie in the Cube now. And it was really a good one. It was really a good Jurassic Park. And Jurassic Park, it broke all sorts of records when the original one came out. It was the highest grossing movie of all time at the time. It kind of broke all sorts of barriers with special effects. It's the first movie that really made dinosaurs come to life. A little random information that you didn't need to know. Did you know that dinosaurs are only in about 14 minutes of the two-hour movie? That's it. But it didn't matter. It is still awesome. And if you don't know, like, the plot of Jurassic Park, basically there's this guy named John Hammond, and he brings dinosaurs back from extinction by getting dinosaur DNA, extracting it out of fossilized mosquitoes. And he decides after he brings dinosaurs back, well, what else should he do other than open a theme park? And so he gets a lawyer and a couple of paleontologists, I don't know how to say that, but anyway, and he takes them on a preview tour of the theme park before it opens with dinosaurs running around. What could possibly go wrong, right? And so in the movie, that's sort of the plot of the movie. In the movie, one of my favorite characters has always been Dennis. We got a picture of Dennis right here. Newman, right there, yes. All right, who remembers Dennis in Jurassic Park? Dennis, he didn't say the magic word. He didn't say the magic word. Look, this guy is the reason that the power goes out. And all the cage powers, they lose their power, and raptors start chasing people because Dennis is trying to sneak dinosaur DNA out of the park. Does anybody remember what he's trying to sneak out of the park in? A shaving cream can. Not just any shaving cream can. Barbasol, baby. Product placement, that's what that is. And it wasn't just any can of Barbasol, okay? The shaving cream can that he put the dinosaur embryos in, okay? It worked. It worked. And so you got, you know, Dennis, who kind of made everything kind of fall apart in Jurassic Park. Now, the entire plot of Jurassic Park hinges on a shaving cream can filled with hidden monsters, you guys. That's the entire plot. And so today, we're going to talk about some hidden dinosaurs, some hidden monsters that we have in our lives. And we don't have them hidden in a can of shaving cream. A lot of times we have them hidden in our heart. And when we let these hidden dinosaurs, these hidden monsters run wild in our heart, they can do all sorts of damage in our lives. And so I'm going to talk about three hidden dinosaurs, three hidden monsters that we have in our lives, and three different ways that we can tame them, kind of like Chris Pratt tamed Blue, the raptor in Jurassic World. Does that sound good? You guys with me? Okay, so we spend a lot of time focusing on the external. Like, you guys, you look good. Back row people, looking good. Ken, you're the only one on the front row, man. I appreciate that. You're looking good. Yeah, everybody in the middle rows, just, you're looking good. I'm just kidding. And we spend a lot of time focusing on the external. Some of you go to the gym to look good. Some of you got all the makeup on to look good. Some of you count calories to look good. Some of you, like, invest heavily at the Tanger outlets to look good. Come on now. We spend a lot of time focusing on the external, but we don't spend a lot of time focusing in on our internal. In other words, we don't spend a lot of time focusing in on our heart. And if you look at the New Testament, there was a group of people, they were the religious leaders, And they had broken up the world into two categories, clean and unclean. And whether you were clean or unclean was all based on external things. And so, like, don't eat that, don't touch this, okay? Don't wash your hands that way. And if you do, you're going to be unclean. And then Jesus came along and was like, hey, that stuff is all external. Now, it's okay to focus some on the external. Like, you should still wash your hands. That's good. But Jesus tackles the internal with these religious leaders. Let me show you what happens. We're in Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 17. And Jesus says, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? A little early for that, Joel, right? Anyway, let's move on. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the what? The heart, the internal, okay? That's what comes from the heart or from the inside. And these are what defile them, okay? These are the monsters that are hidden inside of our hearts. Here's how they come out of our heart. It says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Now, that last section of that last sentence right there, if you have kids and base your kids, we're not going to make that their memory verse this week. They will still wash their hands. But listen, Jesus is saying the heart is what matters most. It's the internal that matters most, because what's in your heart leaks out into your life. What's in our heart a lot of times will leak out into our life. And so let me ask you this question. I'm going to be using shaving cream a lot today, so just kind of bear with me. I got my little trash can here. What's that? Oh, yeah, there you go, hands free. Okay, so let me ask you this. How many of you want to be a better person? You want to be a better dad, mom, husband, wife, coworker, friend, Jesus follower? You want to be a better person? Come on, let's see who's awake in the room. Okay, that's almost 100% participation. That's the best participation I've ever gotten here, actually. But we all want to be a better person. Now, how do we get there? We got to be in tune with what's going on in our heart. We got to tame those hidden dinosaurs and those hidden monsters in our heart, because Jesus said what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. I said this a few weeks ago, but you leak. I leak. We leak. A few weekends ago, Stacy's parents, Stacy's dad and stepmom, took our kids right down the road to Massey's Landing to go camping for the weekend. And they called us beforehand there and said, hey, can we like take your kids for the weekend? And I was like, let me pray about it. Yes, you can take them. I mean, they might as well have asked, like, hey, would you like to sleep in past sunrise for the first time in 4 years? Yes, I would. Okay, please take the children. I love my children. I feel like I should say that. I do. But it was nice. It was a nice weekend. And while the kids were away, me and Stacey went on a couple dates and had a good time. And then at the end of the weekend, we went to go pick up the kids. And they were swimming in the pool at Massey's Landing. And we saw our kids before they saw us. And so they're splashing around in the pool. They're smiling. They're jumping in the pool. And as a parent, if you have kids, like seeing your kids smile just puts a smile on your face. And so we're like all excited to see them having a good time. And we got to them. And then they finally saw us. And we're like, hey, guys, how was your weekend? And Nora, when she saw us, she looked at us and she just burst into tears. And we're like, oh my goodness, like what happened? Did something bad happen this weekend? And no lie, she looked right at us and she said, I don't want you to be here. It didn't sting at all. Like it felt wonderful. No. She knew in her heart that us being there meant she had to leave. No more golf cart rides. No more milkshakes at the end of the night just because you're alive and breathing. No more lawlessness with the grandparents, okay? Like, just your evil parents. And so what was in her heart, it came out. Have you ever had a moment where you say something and then you're like, oh, man, where did that come from? Well, that came from nowhere. Has that ever happened to anybody? Yeah, okay. And we think, well, that came from nowhere. Well, no, it didn't. It came from your heart. Well, I didn't really mean it. Oh, yeah, you did. It felt good too, right? I mean, it feels good. But what's in our heart will just manage to leak its way out of us. And so what do we do? Proverbs 4, verse 23. This is written by a guy named Solomon. And he's described in the Bible as the wisest man who ever lived. So I lean into what he says. He says, above all else, okay, number one, most important thing, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Look, if you want to be better at life, What do we got to do? Guard our heart. Because when we get our heart right, everything else in our life starts to get right. And so I'm going to talk about three different hidden dinosaurs, hidden monsters in our heart in three different ways that we can tame them. Okay, so let's put the first one up on the screen, which is you tame guilt. That's the hidden dinosaur, the hidden monster that we have in our heart. We tame it with confession. Now, I saw this picture on the internet this week of a couple of dogs, and I thought I'd show you guys this picture. A couple of dogs are coming up. We're going to have some dogs coming up. There they are. Who's the guilty one? You guys got the answer? Listen, my dog, this is no lie, my dog Eli makes this face at least once a day. Just like runs in from a random room, like making this face. And so, is anybody else like me, and you're just horrible at covering up your guilty face? Is anyone like that? Yeah, we've got a few people who admit that. Let me take you to a story where that happened to me recently. On Tuesday of this week, I'm supposed to go to Nicaragua on a surfing trip. And I say supposed to go because me and my brother and my friend Paul, we booked our tickets months ago. But since we booked our tickets, there's been all sorts of like civil unrest that happened in Nicaragua. And so there's all this violence, all these protests happening down there. And so we have been like sharing news stories with each other through text messages. Anytime we like find out what's going on down there or get some new information, we share it with each other because we're just trying to figure out like what do we do. And I've told my wife, Stacy, about most of it. I may have filtered a story or seven out. I don't know. And so the other day, we were with my brother and his wife, Jess, and we were hanging out. And my brother, Tim, said in front of my wife and his wife, he said, "Hey, Joel, have you seen the most recent text message that Paul sent about Nicaragua?" Paul's the other guy going with us. And right away, I knew I was caught. And I was like, yeah. And Stacy is like a heat missile. She's like, "Yoop." And she said, "What's that text say?" And I was like, "Oh, you know, just this guy heading to the surf camp we were going to. He just ran into a few roadblocks." And my wife is a clever girl. All right. She's like staring me down and she's like, "Oh, yeah. And what else does the text say?" And I was like, "Well, how much can you really say in a text? I mean, it's limited." And. And she knew, and I knew, and she knew that I knew that I was getting caught in the middle of a cover-up. Yeah. And she said, "Well, I'll be looking at your phone on the way home." I was like, "Yes, ma'am, yes, you will." And so she read the text, and she was like, "Oh, yeah, just a roadblock, you know, that they were held up at gunpoint." And I was like, "Well, it could be worse. There could be dinosaurs." I don't know, like... But wives and moms kind of have this supernatural sniffer. Have you ever noticed that? Like, they just know. I don't know how you all know. And like, they catch us when we're trying to say something. They catch us when we're, like, guilty. And listen, a lot of times in life, we think we're really good at covering up our guilty face. And we bury it down really deep. But guilt has a way of leaking out of us. It can come out of us in the form of anger. It can come out of us in the form of depression or addiction. And so how do we tame guilt? We'll throw James chapter 5, verse 16 up on the screen. Here's what James, a brother of Jesus, said. He said, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Healed." Who doesn't want to be healed? Like, I'm not even sick and I'm like, "Oh, there's healing. Like, I want that. Okay, I want that." And so James says, you tame guilt with confession. Now, some of you are really nervous right now, but here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying today after church, you got to go out in the lobby and you say, "Hey, everybody, gather around. Here's my life story. You know, put it all out there." Okay, don't do that. You're going to freak our T-Rex out. Okay, don't do that. But my hope for every person in this room is that you have at least one person who you can be really honest with and confess to. And if you don't have just one person, my hope is that you have a small group of people, a network of people who you can just put it out there to. And if you don't have that person or that small group of people, I want to ask you to do two things this week. Would you pray every single day that God will bring that person into your life? And the second thing, when you walked in, you got your program, on the Go Further section, would you just check off, "I want to join a Bayshore group"? Like, we want to get you surrounded with people who you can build a relationship with so that you can confess things to when you get to know them well enough. Because I believe everybody needs somebody to confess to. Because part of the byproduct of confession is it changes our behavior. So back to the Nicaragua text story and my cover-up with Stacy and her supernatural sniffer, okay? So she found out that day about everything that was going on, and a few weeks later, her and I were just sitting on the couch watching TV, everything's good, and my phone vibrates. And Stacy, she knew this time. She was like, supernatural sniffer. And she said, and it was from my buddy Paul, and she said, what's that text say? And I knew I had a choice. I was like, you got a choice, Pastor Joel, what you could do here. And so I got a little smarter since last time, so I was like, here you go. Look, there's power in confession, right? 10 years into this marriage thing, I'm starting to figure things out, but there's power in confession. And this is one of the reasons that saying your sin out loud is so important, because when you say it out loud, you hear it. And you're like, oh, man, that sounds worse when I actually say it out loud. And confession, part of the byproduct of it is it changes our behavior. And so what happens is it tames that guilt monster from sort of stomping around in our hearts and in our lives. And so you tame guilt with confession. The second thing is this, tame anger with forgiveness. Tame anger, the hidden dinosaur in our heart, anger with forgiveness. Now, we're going to do a little Jurassic Park trivia. I need to see, like, how many of you really know your Jurassic Park stuff. And the reason I need to do this is because this week I Googled Jurassic Park. And I saw all the questions that people most ask when it comes to Jurassic Park. And the second most asked question about Jurassic Park really concerned me. And I took a screenshot of it just so you guys would believe me. The second most asked question on Google about Jurassic Park is Jurassic Park based on a true story? I have lost all faith in humanity. Look, if you're sitting here like, well, is it? No, it's not. There's not. Anyway, so I thought we should sharpen up on a little Jurassic Park trivia so you don't Google questions like that. Google can't handle that, okay? So we're going to put some different questions on the screen, true or false, and I just need you to let me know where you land, okay? So the first one we'll put up is this. The original T-Rex in Jurassic Park was a life-size animatronic model, true or false? Overwhelming false, a few truths. Where are the truths? False. Bo just answered, and he was in the first service. So he knows the answer. Listen, the answer is true. This guy right here was a 12,000-pound animatronic robot, and apparently whenever it would rain on the set, sometimes it would come on its own and freak people out. It would scare me. Okay, second question we'll throw up on the screen. The Jurassic Park ride at Universal Studios costs as much money as the movie. True or false? False? True? Some truths? Mostly false? Okay, this answer is false. The movie cost $63 million to make. The ride at Universal Studios cost $110 million to make. Yeah, so also I heard that a ticket into Universal Studios cost about $110 million, okay? All right, let's put up our third question, which is Jurassic Park is based on a true story. Still getting truths. I just need to know who was paying attention in here. Some of you caught you. All right, let's put up our last question here. The scene where the T-Rex crashed through the roof of the car and onto the kids was a mistake. True or false? True. You know that one. Okay, that is true. Listen, apparently it was hard to control the animatronic robot, and so when it, like, crashed through the sunroof in this scene, you guys remember the scene? Yeah. It was a great scene. Okay, when it crashed through the sunroof of that car at the level that it did, it wasn't supposed to do that. And so those kids' screams in the movie are real. Listen, if I'm those kids, I'm a little angry at Steven Spielberg. Anybody with me? Like, control your T-Rex, Mr. Spielberg, right? But it's hard to control anger sometimes. So let's talk about taming anger, okay? Because sometimes when we got this hidden monster of unforgiveness in our life, it can take us on a ride in life. Sort of like the Jurassic Park ride. It can take us on a ride in life to all sorts of places we don't want to go. Here's what Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 31, says. This is Paul, and he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words. This sounds like how some of you drive right here. I've seen it, okay? Get rid of all that. He says, get rid of slander as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, I love this, instead, be kind to each other. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Now, let's keep this up on the screen for just a second, okay? What's the ride in life that unforgiveness takes us on? Bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, evil behavior. Is anybody like, hey, I want to sign up for that? No. Unforgiveness takes us on that sort of ride in life, and those things leak out into our lives and do all sorts of damage. I remember years ago, I was with my buddy, Pastor David. Some of you guys remember Pastor David. He was on our staff and on our team, and he's actually moved to Alabama now. I love Pastor David, and we were fishing buddies. And so one day, we were out fishing, having a good time. In the middle of us fishing, Pastor David, it seemed like out of nowhere to me, he said, hey, Joel, I think you need to go see a therapist. Like, this is not what you want to hear from anybody, right? Like, great, your pastor's crazy. And so I was like, what in the world? And he said, listen, I've been listening to you talk, and I hear some bitterness coming out of some of the words that you're saying, and I know you have some unforgiveness towards somebody, and so I think you need to see a therapist. And I was like, can we just fish, man? Like, or could you be my therapist right now on the boat? Like, that will be better than me, you know? And so anyway, he's like, listen, I know your story, and I know there's somebody in your life that you struggle with. And he said, this is what I want you to do, if you'll let me kind of be your therapist for a second. He said, what I want you to do is every single day this week, I want you to pray that God will bless that person. And I was like, I need a new therapist. I want to do that. And he said, listen, if you do it every single day, you watch what will happen. And so I was like, okay, I'll pray for that punk, you know. You guys know what that's like, you know. And so I drove by where this person who I struggled with, I drove by where they worked every single day. And so I was like, okay, as I drive by where they work every single day, I'll just pray that God will bless them. And the first day I did it, it didn't go so well. The second day I did it, didn't go so well. The first week, still not going so well. About a month in, it was a little bit better. And after a year of praying that God will bless that person every single day, not only was the prayer better, I was better. And those words, that bitterness that was always leaking out of me about that person was gone. And so it was such a powerful moment for me because I learned that day in the boat with Pastor David that you tame anger with forgiveness. And the way you forgive is you pray for that person every single day that God will bless them. No matter how hard it is, and it's going to be hard because you just have that struggle with them, but it will get easier. And listen, you can't tame anger with anger. I know, I've tried it before. It doesn't work. Okay, but you tame anger with forgiveness, and you forgive by praying for that person every single day. Another way that you can tame anger is instead of focusing in on what that one person did to hurt you or what those three people did to hurt you or those five people did to hurt you, instead, focus in on all your friends and coworkers and family members who have been good to you. Instead of focusing on all the hurt, focus on the people who actually have been there for you in life. Because when someone hurts you and you have unforgiveness inside of you, you have now given that person the power to control and shape your heart. And nobody wants that. And plus, do you know what it feels like on the other side of forgiveness? It feels like freedom. It feels like you've been being chased by a T-Rex, and you finally get away, and now you're getting to eat ice cream with John Hammond. Like, forgiveness feels like freedom. And if you need a little extra motivation, Paul said in Ephesians, like we just read, he says, forgive one another as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. God has already forgiven you of so much more than you ever have to forgive anybody else of. And so you tame anger with forgiveness. Listen, you got this. You can do this. Hey, let me give you our last one, which is tame jealousy with celebration. Tame jealousy with celebration. Now, when I went to see Jurassic Park in theaters in 1993, it was in the mall. You guys remember the malls? It's like the original Amazon, the mall. And there was one thing I remember in 1993, seeing Jurassic Park in the mall. I remember the self-driving Ford Explorer. We have a picture of it that we'll put on the screen. Who remembers these in the movie? Yeah, okay, listen. Apparently, like, marketing works on me because I was geeking out when I saw this. My thing drives on its own. Like, that is amazing. And if you're here and you're like a teenager and you're like, that thing is ugly. Like, what is that? Okay, this in 1993 was kind of like the 1993 version of a Tesla. John Hammond might as well have been Elon Musk. Like, this was cutting edge right here. And so I remember at 10 years old, I saw this Ford Explorer, and I was like, that's it? When I turn 16, I'm going to get a truck. Okay, now I would prefer it's like a Jurassic Park truck, but I'll take any truck. And my entire life, I've wanted a truck. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my vehicle history. My first car was a 1989 Honda Accord, two doors, rusted out around the gas tank, not a truck. My Second car was a 1997 Honda Accord. Four doors this time, still rusted out around the gas tank. Still not a truck. My third and current vehicle is a 2007 Honda Civic. Still not a truck. Thank you. And so my 10-year-old dreams have not come true. Still have a truck. Now, every time I see a truck, especially a big truck, I get a little truck envy. And so the other day, I pulled right over here to the Royal Farms, and I parked my car. And when I got out of my car, I feel like I looked around, and I feel like God was trying to play a practical joke on somebody that day, and I was the guy who did it to. Because the scene where I parked my car, I took a picture of it so you guys could see it. That's not right. And my wife thinks it's so funny that I get this, like, truck envy. And if you can zoom in on that picture, you can see my wife in this picture, what she's actually doing. She's just laughing at me. Not right. But I get truck envy when I see a big or a nice truck, and it goes all the way back to 10 years old with Jurassic Park. Now, if I were to ask you, like, hey, is there any jealousy in your heart? Most of us would be like, no. Not really. You know, I was a little jealous of the Eagles this past season, but, you know, not really. But let me ask you this. What if you get on Instagram later today and you see a picture and all your friends were out to dinner last night together and you didn't get invited? Or you see that one of your best friends gets a brand new 70-inch flat screen TV with surround sound. It's like the cube in his living room. And you're still rocking your 19-inch tube TV VCR combo. Or maybe your friends are all retired and, like, you're on your lunch break at work and you log on to Facebook and you see all their, like, you know, I'm just eating at the pool at 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon. You see that picture. What's going on in your heart now? Listen, jealousy can creep into our lives in all sorts of different ways. And at its core, when we're jealous, I think we're essentially saying, God, why did you bless them and you didn't bless me? Like God, why is their marriage happy and mine isn't? Well, why is their house new and has that new, fresh house smell and my house just has a smell? Why is their marriage happy or life happy and mine isn't? Okay, well, we're basically saying, like, God, you're not treating me fair. Well, it's almost like what we're saying, you know, God, you only have so many, like, blessings that you can give out. And since you gave Kian three of them, you don't got any for me. Look, that's not how it works. It's not a competition. God doesn't have a limited amount of blessings. He's not like, well, you know, I would bless you, but I blessed, you know, Brother Kian over here, and so I'm fresh out. You know, look, no more blessings. I got no more blessings. Listen, God doesn't have a limited amount of blessings. That's not how it works. And why God blesses some people at some times and others don't get blessed at other times, I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that jealousy, when we let it run rampant in our heart, it can do all sorts of damage in our lives. Check out James chapter 4, starting in verse 1. James says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Like, why are you all fighting? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, and so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, and so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask God for it, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Does that sound like anybody's life to me? Like that, I just struggle. I want what other people have, okay? I want what will give me pleasure, okay? That's jealousy in a nutshell. And so how do we tame it? I really believe at my core the best way to tame jealousy is to celebrate God's blessing in other people's lives. I try to make it a daily habit that whenever somebody else is smiling because something good happened in their life, I want to smile with them and for them. Look, when God blesses somebody, a friend of yours, celebrate it. Like, hey, man, you got a brand new truck that's like towered over my Honda Civic. That is awesome. My Civic still gets better gas mileage, okay? I just need to put that out there. But, or, you know, hey, you're a school teacher and you have off for the entire summer. I'm so happy for you. Right? Or, you know, you're going on vacation again. Like, man, I'm so excited you get to go on vacation again. Or, you know, hey, LeBron, you got a four-year, $154 million contract with the Lakers. I don't know what to say about that one. But anyway, celebrate other people's blessings. Because don't worry, God's not running out of them. He's not got an empty pocket on you. I've told you guys a few weeks ago that we were going to get my boy Nixon a drum set for his birthday. And we did. We got him this drum set, and we were having his birthday party, and we had him open all his gifts, but we kind of put the drum set to the side and covered it up with the towels, and so he didn't even know it was over there, so he was opening up his gifts. And when he got done, we're like, hey, Nixon, we got one more left for you. And so he turned around, and he ran over to him, and he had no idea what was coming. And so he ripped the towels off, and he saw his drum set for the very first time. Now, let me just tell you, as a parent, those are the moments you live for. Like, that was just like such a fun moment to see him, you know, excited about this. And when I got home that night, I was taking pictures while he was opening the drum set. And so at home that night, I was looking through the pictures, and I happened to notice in one of the pictures something I didn't notice when he was opening up the gift. And it was actually not him that I was focused on. It was his sister in the background that kind of blew me away. So let me just show you the picture of this moment. Isn't that picture the best? I think that may be my favorite picture I have of my kids. And listen, what is Nora doing? She's celebrating Nixon's blessing. And she's also most certainly scheming for how to get those drumsticks. But listen, I hope all week long, this her expression has been stuck in my mind. And I hope this week it sticks in your mind, because my four-year-old in that picture is teaching me, you tame jealousy with celebration. Celebrate other people, the blessings that God has given other people. Because I don't know if you've noticed, in our culture, we love to tear apart other people's successes. And I don't want to be a person like that. I want to be a person who celebrates other people's successes, because their win doesn't mean I'm not going to get my win. And plus, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from where? Comes from above. And so, when you're celebrating a blessing in someone else's life, you're not necessarily celebrating the truck. You're celebrating that God did something amazing. And so this week, I have a goal, okay? This week, every single day, I want to find someone and something to celebrate in someone else's life. I want to find something in someone else's life that they're smiling about, and I'm going to smile with them like Nora is smiling for her brother right here. Is anybody willing to try that with me, to celebrate other people's blessings? Okay, listen. If you do this, because a lot of you raise your hand on this, hold on to your butts. Because God loves to bless us when we celebrate in other people's blessings. Now, that's not why we do it. That's not your motive, but you just watch out. You'll see what happens. And so you tame jealousy with celebration. So let's just bring this all together, okay? How's your heart? How's your heart? What's hidden in your heart? Is it guilt? Is it anger? Is it jealousy? Look, all those things start out small. They're small as a dinosaur embryo in a can of shaving cream, okay? But if you don't tame them, they can grow up into a T-Rex and do all sorts of damage in your life. Guilt, anger, jealousy. And it just grows and it grows into the place where you have a mess on your hands. But you tame guilt with confession. You tame anger with forgiveness. You tame jealousy with celebration. Look, I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't know what sort of hidden dinosaurs, hidden monsters you got running around in your heart. But if you let them run wild, they're going to do all sorts of damage in your life. But with God's help, we can tame those hidden monsters in our lives. Let me pray for you all. God, I'm so thankful for the words in your living word, the Bible, that give us direction. What do we do when we have guilt? What do we do when we have anger? What do we do when we have jealousy? And God, you are so clear in your word what to do with those things, because none of us in this room, although we've all faced those things and we're all facing them right now, none of us want those to run wild in our life and do all sorts of damage in our life. And so God, give us the strength this week to confess, to find that person to confess to. Give us the strength this week to forgive that person who hurt us by praying for them every single day, that you would bless them no matter how hard that prayer is. And God, I pray that you'll help us to celebrate other people's blessing in our lives this week. God, thank you so much for giving us these handles, these tools that we can take out into our lives, take out into our workplaces to represent you. We do all for you. We do all for your glory. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.